In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light.
We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the increase of your spirit, the impressions of your wisdom. We give a praise. Bale Mosaiva. Oh, you are the perfection of all beauty. You are the perfection of all beauty. We thank you for the increase of your love. Bako Sabalama Shekabayabasata. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just get up for Jesus? And then take your seat. It has become highly expedient that we'll be cultured and trained through the Word of God. The Word of God is God's greatest gift to humanity. I show you here. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, to have light in your spirit, you must have the Word of God in your spirit. The Word of God in your spirit is the light of God within you. The absence of God's Word within you is an exposure to dimness. You've been made the light of God, a light being, by the virtue of you being born by the Word of God. But for your light, for your shining forth to be intensified, you must be illuminated more and more by the Word of God. There are a lot of believers that are mainly dependent on pray for me. You know, pray for me. They want to be spoon-fed. And they want everything to be done for them. So they are not growing. They are not growing. They are not maturing. So you find people that have been born again for many months, and they are not growing because they have not given themselves to the Word of God. When you give yourself to the Word of God, when you give yourself to the Word of God, the Word of God has a way of producing its own impact in your life. You see, because the Word of God works. You know what I said? The Word of God works. It has the potency to work. When you look at the scriptures, the Bible says, for all scriptures are given by the inspiration. They are the outbreathings of God. The speaking of God is the outbreathing of God. I've said a couple of times, the speaking of God is God's out-breathing for our inward breathing. So when you are taking in God's word, you are breathing in the out-breathing of God. And that out-breathing of God has the power to produce the miracle, to bring the transformation. See, it brings transformation in your life. You must be a person that is given to the Word of God. I sure you are following. And within these 2 days, there is something special the Lord wants to do in your life. There's something very special the Lord wants to do in your life. The Lord is going to bring you to a place where you walk in the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the spirit of faith. That is the journey that God is teaching us on within these 2 days. You see, in this kind of meeting, don't just be listening like one who is looking for information. I'm not here to really give you information. I'm here to impart your spirit. I'm here to condition your spirit. Your spirit must be conditioned. Like I was saying during the week, that there are people whose lives are regulated by their environment and by their society. And there are those who regulate. There are two groups of people. There are those who are regulated by the society. Their lives, they are like thermometer. What they do is that they take records. All they do is that they take records, you see, of what is happening around them. They take records of their defeat. They take records of their failures. They take records of their disadvantages. That is the records in their spirit. Those are the records within their spirit and their mind. Their mind cannot capture anything of glory. The only records they have within them is how they can be sick, how they are weak, how they are sinners, how they are nobody, how they cannot live great and effectual lives. The records of the disadvantages of their world. The records they have within them are the things which have happened in and outside their world. They can't detect the peace. When they look into the future, they can't see anything beautiful. They live by the limitation of their mind. So much limitations in their mind. But there are those that are also cultivated and cultured by the word of God, whose lives are not dependent on the state of their society, but the condition of God in their heart. You can't have the word of God being infused in your heart and be struggling with suicide. You'll be having suicidal thoughts. And your results in school determine your future. No! Your future is determined by your spirit. It's determined by your spirit. The family you are born in cannot determine your advantage or your disadvantage. When you give yourself to the word of God becomes the determinant. It becomes your advantage. The word of God becomes your advantage. See, this life in Christ is a real life. It's a real life. Those who are able to take hold of the word of God, see, they live like champions. It is whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. How do we generate faith? When you become born again, faith is sown in your spirit. Faith is the ability to function in the confidence of God, irrespective of what happens around you. See, the inner life is more real than the life outside. Because the inward life is what determines the things that happens around you. How do you wake up and you're not scared of the future? Because of what the word of God has done in your spirit. Now, all over the world, people don't know what's at stake. They are filled with fear. There's so much fear all over the world. But those that are raised by God, we look at the future and we rejoice. And by the word of God, you know how to create an atmosphere of joy. You don't need a comedian to make you happy. No, the word of God teaches you how to create an ambience of joy. Ambience of joy. There are people who have had struggle. So much struggle in their emotions. Their emotions are so much disturbed. There's so much disturbance within their emotions. So much disturbance. So much uncertainties within them. But when they are able to, when you're able to give yourself to God's word, see, it builds you up. It builds you up. So by the time we are through today, tomorrow, you will know how to create your future. You know how to set things in order. You know how, the kind of environment you will create around you, which will cause you to walk in the high places of the earth. I'm telling you, within this moment, make sure your spirit is here. Make sure your mind is here. Because the Lord is going to sow mighty seeds in you. I assure you are here. The Lord is going to sow mighty seeds within you. Seeds. Seeds. Say it. I don't live an ordinary life. Say it again. I don't live an ordinary life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 4. The verse 1. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Let me read it again to you. Hebrews 4 verse 2. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So with people. Now, he's talking about, you know, before they entered the promised land, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, all right? And then, before they came to the promised land, therefore, they did not enter into their rest. They did not come into that promise. But no, you know that, you realize that when you delve deeper into the scriptures, you realize the promise is not just Jerusalem, but Christ. The rest which Christ gives, all right? But he says, they did not come into the promise. Why did they not come into the promise? Look at it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. The word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. Takosata. The word did not profit them. So you are there, you hear a word like Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then you look at your life, and it's like you can't see the reality of that word in your life. He said, it is simple. You did not mix it with faith. I show you here. So the word comes, now the point is that the issue is not with the word. The issue is, did you mix it with faith? Now the issue also is not that you don't have faith. Because sometimes when people don't see things happen in their lives, what they say is that, me, I don't have faith. I didn't have enough faith. No, it's not about having enough faith or not having enough faith. It's about mixing it with faith. When the word comes, you must mix the word with faith. That's when the results. And so we're going to look at faith. We're going to look at faith. I'll take time to explain to you some three levels of faith. Those who will miss today, they will miss. Those who will miss tomorrow, they will miss. Lift your right hand. Kaba sote lemaya. See, I have faith. Lebo shakaba. See, I believe. Whatever God says is true. Rakaba sota lemaya. I believe. Whatever God says is true. See, you didn't just happen in this world. There was a creative work that brought you forth. Do you hear what I said? You didn't just happen in this world. There's a creative work that brought you forth. There is a creator. There is a source of life. Do you hear what I'm saying? I sure you heard it. There is a source of life. See, there is nothing within time without source. There's nothing. Anything you see and cannot see, anything within the universe has a source. The universe didn't just happen. There is a source. Because, you know, when you take time and you observe, maybe tomorrow we'll go more into it, you realize that it is a well-mastered craft. It's a masterpiece. Wherever you find creativity, you must know there is a creator. When you read Romans, let me read this to you. Romans chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Hey, come on now. He said, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes. So when you look at the creation of the world, you don't need a book, you don't need a letter, you don't need, no, the creation speaks of something. Like you find in Psalm 19, it said, the heavens declare your glory, the firmament your handiworks. When you do more foreign 630 of the stars, of the sun, of the moon, of the ocean, listen, you realize that there is a creative work. Look at the aeons, for example. You know, a lot of people globally, all those that travel by sea uses the ocean map, you see. And do you know where it came from? It came from a man who understood that there's a map of, there's a street in the ocean. You look at the ocean, there's a street. It is not man that created it, it's God that formed it. He said, whilst I was reading the book of Psalms, and he saw the pathways of the sea. He said, if there are pathways of the sea, I have to search it out. I sure you are here. So he sought out the pathways of the seas. And by identifying the pathway of the sea, he was able to map the sea. See, the most advanced technology is the word of God. I'm telling you, before those glass gates that came, those sensors gates came, Peter had walked through Samu, but Shaka. I sure you are here. Before man would discover how procreation really happened, God had already spoken of it in scriptures. I love you, Jesus. So one of the crucial things you have to know is that there is God who brought forth the universe. So if I talk about faith is having confidence in the one that established the foundations of the universe. Having confidence in his words. That's how simple I want to make it to you. That the one who established the, the law of gravity is the same God that is speaking to you about your life. He says he upholds all things by the word of his mouth. The word of his power. Upholds all things. So if you want to understand why the universe has not collided, because there is a God who has set it in its proper place. So if this God is able to set this complex universe in its proper place, is it your life, Kabazata? Is it your life that God cannot set it right? Is it your future? Is it your future? So what you need is confidence in his word. So he says, for the word did not profit them because they did not mix the word of God with faith. So what you do is that, you see, this is what makes you a believer. A believer mixes God's word with faith. A believer is a man that carries God's word in his heart and runs with it. Don't live by assumptions. Live by truth. So the challenge is not the word of God. When things are not happening, it's not the word of God. Your first point of call is come to a place to know, how am I mixing the word of God with faith? How am I mixing the word of God with faith? When you know how to mix the word of God with faith, you will know how to produce the result that God wants you to produce. Because you know what? The word of God is a seed. Every seed can bear fruit. That's what Jesus says. Jesus calls the word seed. I have the seed of God in me. Quickly, Mark chapter 4. Will everyone understand this? Anything that God wants to do, he does it by his word. Did you hear what I said? God does nothing outside his word. So you want God to do something for you? The question is, how do you think God is going to do it? Whatever you want God to do for you, he does it by his word. Mark chapter 4. Within every word that God gives is a great harvest. And you know what? Every word that is coming to you today, there is a harvest in it for you. Are you sure you are here? Every word that is coming to you today, there is a harvest. You are harvesting greatly. All right, Mark chapter 4. Let's start from verse 13, where Jesus began to explain the parable. Are you there? All right, I begin. Mark 4, 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? After he had given the parable, they didn't understand the parable. All right. Now, what is a parable? Is a parable like allegories. You see, explaining realities. So he gave a parable. And most of the times, when Jesus wants to talk about a spiritual thing, he uses earthly things to explain spiritual things to us. You see, so that we can understand what is happening in the spirit. As he explains, as he gives you the explanation of the physical things, he's helping you catch what is happening in the spirit. All right, so look at this. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. This is the basic parable. That's what he was trying to establish. So he talks about the sower in the when you're free, you start reading from the verse 3 downwards, all right? You're going to see that the sower sowed seeds. And he's saying that the seed that the sower sowed is the word of God. Are you following? All right, so the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So when it comes to church meeting, as the word of God is being taught, but today, my focus is not really this part for these two meetings, because I've done a lot of teaching on this part, where you receive the word and adversary comes to steal the word from your heart. Now, when it comes to steal the word from your heart, he has stolen the revelation. No, some people go like, how did he steal? I still remember what I was taught. You may still remember. What you are remembering is an information. I sure you are here. Like I posted this afternoon. You see, God doesn't build your life by information. He builds your life with revelation. That's why people go to Bible school and they come back and they don't understand God. That's why people read the scriptures and they still don't understand God, because they only have information in their mind. They don't have the revelation of God's word in their heart. It's not there. You wonder, someone has been in church for a while, has been coming for service every time, and the person is not being able to walk in the word. It's simple. The revelation of that word is not in the person's heart. You know, for example, while I was praying this afternoon, I was meditating, the Holy Ghost was talking to me, and he said that, look, people have defined born again in a, like, with too much talk. And what is born again? You know, when you believe in Jesus and you receive him, yes, they are great. But when Jesus was asked, no one does this thing, he said, except God be with him. He said, how can we? He said, except a man be born again. So a man being born again means you do these things. So there are things you must do because you are born again. Why? God is with you. The born again, God is with you. You carry God. Now, you don't find yourself doing certain things. Like Jesus said again, these signs shall follow them that believe. Like if you're a believer, signs must follow you. We'll talk about that tomorrow. You see, if you're a believer, signs must follow you. If signs are not following you, doesn't mean you're not a believer. Maybe you're a believer, but the point is that you are a believer with mere information. You've not caught a revelation. Being a believer means the supernatural is yours. If you're a believer, you must
You must live a supernatural life. If you are struggling to live a supernatural life, you have not caught the revelation of being a believer. When you catch that revelation of being a believer, you will live a supernatural life. It's not a life of pastors. You do business with the supernatural. You go through school with the supernatural. That's why you are here. Why should students always be reading plenty? You are studying, you don't know what is coming in exams. Why? Born again. Why? Daniel, somebody had a dream. A king had a dream. He set his questions. And then he called the wise men of the land to come and answer section A, question one. I'm sure you're here. Then we're like, okay, ask the question. They said, no. See, your lecturer has set exams questions and he wants you to answer the question. But he's saying that I'll not give you the question, but give you the answer. No, think about it. Or you are not getting it. He's saying that I've set questions for you, but I'm not giving you the question, but give me the answer. That was Daniel's situation. Daniel, then he said, they were going to kill all the wise men. If they don't give answers. Daniel said, give me some time. That was, he went to his brothers. He went to his friends, and they cooked themselves in their spirit. And then God had to handed over answers to questions. He didn't just give them the questions. He gave them answers to questions. The dream of the king was given to Daniel. See, God has given us a gift. It's called discernment. He's given other gifts. It's called prophetic eyes. See, the supernatural life is my natural life because I'm born of God. So Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So there are people, when they come to church meeting, when they hear the word of God, they receive with gladness, with joy. But look at what happens. And they have no root in themselves. They receive the word, but they are not rooted. They are not rooted in themselves. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. So realize they receive a word, but the word can only endure for a time. I will show you how the word can have roots. There is a way the word of God can have roots in your heart. They themselves have no roots in themselves. They have no roots in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Did you hear what he said? For the word's sake, there is persecution. Every word you receive will be tested. It will be tried. I'm sure you're here. The word will be tried. But when the word is well rooted, no storm can uproot it. It is what is in your mouth that uproots. It's not what you have received into your spirit. It cannot be uprooted. When you have taken time to let it dwell in you richly, like I said in Colossians 3:16, said, let the word of God, the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. It's like being a tree planted by the rivers of waters. When we talk about meditating on God's word, it's that you draw out the nutrient, the life of the message that has come to you. You draw out the life in it and it sticks to you. It's assimilated into your system. You masticate it. They call it regurgitation, like how the cow or the goat does. You know, they masticate. You know, they don't see, most people think that they are the nutrient, like they depend on grass. They don't really depend on grass. It is what is in the grass. Do you understand? So realize they will chew the grass, nom, 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 nom. The cow, they will nom, 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 nom. When they are done, they settle down. You see it? Then they bring it out. Then they begin to ruminate it patiently. That's what meditation is. When God's word comes to you, you meditate on it. It's an ingredient of success. Like he said in Joshua 1:8 and Psalm 1. You masticate the word of God. You know, like, and that's what I was telling you. My hero is here to help you do that. If you look at Psalm 23, you know, you've read Psalm 23, you never knew that the shepherd is your host. But if you read the Mahira, you realize that the shepherd doesn't just lead you. He's your host. And you are also the guest. So the Mahira will be helping you meditate on a scripture.
Say that I meditate on the word. Say it again. I meditate on the word. So that's how the word of God gets rooted in your heart. Are you following? Okay. The word doesn't stumble in me. Verse 18.
Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the curse of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. So there are something called the curse of this world. It can come and compete with the word of God in your heart. You see, your heart is the good soil. It's the soil. If you read the scriptures, he's talking about your heart being the soil and the word of God being the seed. Are you following? And whenever God wants you to harvest, I say he gives you the word. When God wants to harvest anything, you know what God is looking for? God is not looking for the word. You know what he's looking for? The heart. Anything God wants to do, he looks for the heart. He looks for the heart. Are you following?
Thank you, Jesus. So the deceitfulness of life, of riches, the cares of this world, they compete with the word of God in your heart. They compete with the word of God in your heart. When that is happening, you know what it's doing? It's not allowing you to function by faith. You function by your senses. You function by the world. You function by another law. I'm talking to you about 100-fold harvest. That's what I'm teaching you. Today, I'm teaching you growing into 100-fold harvest. No matter when you, that's the way when you read, they read this chapter, they think it's just about, it's about giving. No, this chapter is not really about giving. This seed in this chapter is not about giving. This seed in this chapter is about the word of God. If you want the seed that is talking about giving, go to Galatians and go to Corinthians. But this one, the same one is in Matthew, the same one is in Luke 8. It's not really talking about giving money. It's talking about the word of God as a seed. And when we talk about the 100-fold, it's talking about living the full, complete, victorious life. 100-fold is a walk. The beautiful things that God has put in your heart. Listen, it is possible. You didn't hear me. I said, the things that God has said to you, the word of God to your life. I said, it is possible. So what I'm teaching you is I'm handing over the ingredient for you to make it happen. Amen. So and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word. So you see, instead of setting your gaze on the revelation of God, you are chasing the things. The things that will produce, the things cannot produce the result. The things do not produce results. You don't chase the things to have things. You don't focus on things to have things. Are you sure you're here? You focus on the word. You focus on the word. And that's what God keeps teaching us. The word of God keeps bringing that to your mind. He says, okay, the disciples were talking about how they'll get things. He said, no, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul was leaving. You know, he told the church in Ephesus. He said, I commend to you the word of his grace. So which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance. He didn't tell them to chase the inheritance. He said, get the word of grace. I should have heard. He didn't say, chase the things. No. I don't chase things. I grow. I mature. You know, let me tell you how the adversary does. Sometimes, the adversary can use tough times to move you away from the word of God. You realize once you are focusing on God's word, there's this family issue. This word you have received, like some of you, this word you are receiving now, by the time you get to the evening, it is canceled in Jesus' name. The adversary will try to bring you bad news. I said, it is canceled. Haven't you realized that most of the times when you decide you're going to do big things for God, is it normal? It's not normal. When you decide, God, I'm going to walk with you, that's when the adversary brings thoughts. He will bring in thoughts, family issue, family this matter, some matter that you realize matters are coming left to right. You know what the adversary is doing? He wants to distract the word. See, it is the word he wants to distract, because he knows that when the word gains root, it will yield fruit.
He couldn't stop you from taking the word. But he knows he can stop the word from germinating. He can stop the word from having its full course in your heart. So you'll be in pursuit of preventing the word of God to prevail in your heart. He uses issues. So all you do is that you must permit him by yielding to those issues. The moment you yield to those issues, you are distracted. Not me. Sometimes when it looks like you are hearing plenty bad news, this one is happening, and everybody is seeking for attention. You know what you do? Oh, I do that a lot. Share. I can't ask me to meet you now. You know what I do? I withdraw. I withdraw from all the noise. Because I know that paying attention to the noise will not bring the result. The result is in paying attention to the word. Hey, did you hear what I said? The result is giving attention to the word. It's not giving attention to the situations, to the challenge, to the conditions, to the things happening around. So that I withdraw to meditate on the word. Your brother will bring this. Your uncle will see this. Your sister is this one. This one. You realize you get to see this one. This one is like this one is worried. This one is worried. You turn this. You want to turn your face. You turn. Hey, this one too. Master, shut your eyes off your environment. Look inside. Look inside. That time you can give yourself 3 days. You withdraw from the noise. What are you doing? Meditating, not Facebooking. Some of you withdraw to Facebook. You withdraw to TikTok. Then you know when people are Jesus. When they are troubled, now they sit and then some of them will lie down. Then they will look on your phone, sad. Then they say, I'm sad. Anybody to send me hello? Now they stop saying that one. They will play a song to themselves. You've had broken heart. It will not bring solution. The solution is the word of God. Did you hear what I said? The solution is the word of God. Redraw. Yesterday I showed you, redraw and masticate the word. If you are there, it's like Psalm 23 has not yielded results in your life. You've not seen it happen in your life. It's not time to cry and time to complain. No. You know what you have to do? Get the word of God. Keep speaking the word to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, and sometimes this is how you treat it. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So in your mind, it is David. In your heart, it is not you. You look around you. Yes, the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd, but he has not begun to shepherd me. Because I'm in want. I'm in need. No. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. Kabato seki balata. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If in case you don't understand it, go to the Mahira. Go and pick the Mahira. Read it. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. What was explained here? What's explained here? Yet though I walk through the valleys and the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Maybe you don't understand it. Go and read the Mahira. Understand it. The one you understand, you begin to meditate on it. When there are issues, let God give you treats. Let Jesus give you treats. He's your host. Stop living like you own everything. No, you have a host. You are a guest in his house. He will give you treats. You know, if you're a guest, you don't sweep. You don't clean. You know, they fetch water for you. You understand? In this household, it's not like what by our change. You know, sometimes you go to visit the household. When they visit there for the first 1 week, they'll be fetching water for you. They'll be doing everything for you. 2 weeks, they'll be expecting that you should start thinking. 3 weeks, you're going to see that the bucket, you're going to pick the bucket until you realize it's empty. What they say is they're going to fetch your own water. That's not our Jesus. He is your host unto all eternity. Unto all eternity. So you spend time to meditate. You don't allow the issues to crush you. Do you get what I'm saying? Pelo, Sava Hates. I'm teaching you. I'm teaching you what to do. And the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things entering in choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Another way it says unprofitable. Another way it says unproductive. It means the purpose of the word of God in your heart is fruitfulness. The purpose of the word of God in your heart is productivity. The purpose of the word of God in your heart is profitability. The word must produce results in your heart. So when you're not seeing it, there's something choking, something competing with the word. because the word cannot be the problem. So there may be something competing with God's word in your heart. I said, learn to redraw. Redraw. Take the word of God. Take the word of God. You like making calls too much. Not follow-up calls too. Not follow-up calls. If you are making a call, realize this call is unprofitable. Can't you see that this phone call is competing with the word of God in your heart? Can't you see? You have a conversation. Maybe I'm having a conversation with someone and I realize the conversation is unfruitful. My head begins to ache. It's been that way since. I've not been able to solve it. See, nothing chokes the word. But what I'm saying is that you should know what distracts the word of God in your heart. Some of it could be relationship. When after you are down having conversation with the boy, you feel empty. You feel empty. Yeah. Look at verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Say, my heart is a good ground. Oh, come on, you didn't say it. Say, my heart is a good ground. The gross things of God germinates in my heart. But these are the ones sown on good ground. He said, those who hear the word, accept it. See, when you hear the word of God, you must accept it. Right now in this meeting, accept the word. Are you sure you are here? Accept the word. That will not allow anything to compete with God's word. I have accepted it. They accept the word. He said, and bear fruit. He said, some bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. That was my concern. Why should you bear 60 when you can bear 100? So I started asking the Holy Ghost, how? How can we bear 100-fold? How can we bear 100-fold? Because the problem is not the seed. Now we've come to know that, okay, our hearts are good ground. So now I believe, Cable Sata. I believe that all of us here, we have good grounds. Our heart, your heart is a good soil. Are you sure you are here? I believe. All right, so I know that I believe. So now I'm talking to people whose hearts are the good soil. You see the process. It is one thing to be a soil which is competing with deceitfulness and all that. It's another to be a soil where the word is not well rooted. It's another thing to be the soil where you are good and you bear fruit. So we are good soil. So as a good soil, why 30-fold? Why 60-fold? Why 100-fold? Why should you be partially well? That my lungs is gone, but it is my heart, the palpitation, the No, you must be whole. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. Why should it be that you're an effective soul winner? Effective soul winner, but with dry pockets. No! 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 If it's about prosperity, it must be whole. If it's about your healing, it must be whole. Are you sure you are here? If it's about your relationship, it must be whole. You cannot be doing well for God and struggle in relationship. No, 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 no. You cannot be blessing lives. Because you are acting on the word of God and you are blessing lives. But deep within, you are dying. You are hurting. Don't you know there are people like that? Even pastors who are like that. They are blessing lives and they are dying on the inside. No, 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 no. The wholeness of the God, of the word of God. The wholeness of the word of God. Are you sure you are here? This is the burden. This is what we are having believers conference. Because we must now lay hold, place demand on the seed of the word in our heart. Because what we have come to know through scripture is that anytime the word of God is sown, there is fruit. There is harvest. But now, what kind of harvest? 30-fold? Why should you do business partially? Huh? 100-fold business. Zevela Matoskiba. 100-fold business. 100-fold ministry. 100-fold Life Connect. 100-fold Team 360. 100-fold family life. In the name of Jesus. 100-fold. 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 See, but you know, as you hit 100-fold, you must first of all hit the 30. You hit the 60. Then you hit the 100. By all means, you must move forward. by all means, you must advance. Advance in glory. Advance in the harvest. Ibarato sataka. Not one-sided impact. No, are you sure you are here with me? Not one-sided impact. Total impact. I'm telling you, I don't care whether you're taking what you're taking. I'm talking to myself as well. There was a craving in my heart. Hundredfold. Kabalabaya. Kabalababa sota. Hundredfold. I look forward to hundredfold. So what I'm sharing with you, the answers that God has given to me that I'm sharing with you. He says, the word did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. So now, the one that had 30, the one that had 60, the one that had 100, each of them, it is according to how they have mixed it with faith. According to how they've mixed it with faith. And when we talk about faith, what most people know, yesterday I was talking about it, is the law of faith. You see, the law of faith is great, but the law of faith is not enough. Number one, the law of faith has to do with your disposition. And we've centered on that dimension of faith for a long time. It's time to advance. It's time to advance. It's time to advance. Within every word, there is that seed for harvest. See, every word is pregnant with your manifestation. And what we must now learn to do is to place demand on that word. Because the word by itself can give you the result. Are you sure you are here with me? The word by itself can give you the result. There shouldn't be stagnation. There shouldn't be stagnation. We have to advance. So yes, you're a good soil. I accept. But now, what's the capacity of your harvest? Lift your right hand, lift your right hand. Stir your spirit. Stir your spirit up. Stir your heart up. Le kaba shabalalaba suti. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me now take you through some basic steps. Let me talk a little on the law of faith. The law of faith as connected to your harvest. In Genesis chapter 1, you see something interesting. Listen, in the spirit, how many believe there's a spiritual world? There's a spiritual world, a world beyond the physical. There's a spiritual world. You believe? Great. Listen, if you look at your phones, the gadgets, everything you see here, they all didn't come just from the physical. Before the one that created it, he created it from a realm before it became physical. Though he used things in a physical dimension, it didn't begin from the physical dimension. It began from a realm beyond the optics. So there is a realm beyond the optics, whether you believe it or not. Everything you see around comes from a realm. Your phones, everything, anything you see. I'm not talking about witchcraft market, eh? There is a dimension beyond this physical world where things come from. It is in the higher dimension of these same dimensions that God formed the earth. In Genesis 1, I don't want to go much because of time, so let me not go too much into what I've started. I'll continue tomorrow on that one. But Genesis 1, are you there? Oh, kama sete lebosh. I love the word of God. Rabba Kubo Satanabaya. Genesis chapter 1. All right. Let's just read from verse 11. So powerful. Then God said. Now, the reason I started explaining that everything you see comes from a realm is that, let me tell you something. Even at a basic level. All right. At a basic level. Most people, about 70%. Before you dress, you know, you create your dress in your mind before you dress. All right. I want you to see how creativity happens. You create before you dress. So you create what you want to do tomorrow. I'm going to wear this one and that one. So you've created it. So when you get to your room, you just quack, 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 iron, quack, quack. You're good to go. The guys, they don't struggle to create. The ladies must take that time. They create about four different sheets. This one with this shoe, this one with this shoe, this one with this shoe.
Glory to God.
So what I want you to understand is that we create. And it's that same approach. He says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. So what I want you to see is that, see the first thing, then God said, then the latter part, it was so. So by the speaking of God, he created. Are you sure you are here? See, you can create your life by speaking. That is the law of faith. By speaking. See verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So what God saw, he first of all created it by words. Listen, the things you want to see in your life, you can create them by the speaking of God's word. We are blessing nations. You want to see, you want to start a business, you want to start a business, you can speak your business into being. How do you want a company to be? How do you want your workers to be? How do you want things to be? Speak it. That's the first law of faith. We find that in Romans 10, it's about believing with your heart and speaking with your lips. Your lips must be in agreement with what's in your heart. You don't say, I'm full of glory. You are thinking, I'm nobody. Hey, no. As you are declaring I'm full of glory, your heart is in agreement. That is the first law of faith. Because you must understand, law, for example, when it comes to law, it's a principle. It's a formula. You can't do anything about it. If I jump now, I'll come down. Why? There is a law of gravity. It's the same way. There is another higher law by which things are created. If you don't understand how God created, then you understand laws. There is a law by which God made things. It's like they're speaking. So if you don't have the word of God in your heart, what are you conceiving to speak? Because you will conceptualize what you have received through his word. What you have received through his word by revelation, not by information. Because right now, some of you, what you are hearing, it may be just mere information to you. But when you take time to meditate on the scriptures, the things you are reading, realize that they become revelation in your heart. When you speak them forth, they become rhema. It becomes a creative word. That's the first level. And most of us are exposed to that level. But the thing is that, how consistent are you even at that level? Because if you are consistent at that level, you will still see things change. But even at that level, you are not consistent. Much more the second one. The second one I will share with you tomorrow. I create by speaking. It's a law. Do you understand? It's a law. It's a law. There are many things I've seen around me. I spoke them. And I believe there are more I'm going to see by speaking. However, there are things where you want to lay hold on. It's not just about confessing. For example, when Lot, you know, God taught Abraham the first level. And that one you must see with your spirit. So God showed him the stars. You see? He showed him the sand at the seashore, right? He said, that's how his descendants will be. He said, from this day, his name shall no longer be Abraham. His name shall be Abraham. God was teaching him that first law. But in the issue of Lot, Abraham exuded a different law. It was not declaration. No. He said, yeah, our people have become our animals, our livestock, they become plenty and we are fighting. So we want to go our separate. He said, okay, this is what Abraham said. Choose wherever you want. He said, choose wherever you want and go. Another dimension, my brother and my sister. Abraham was not operating by confessor. There was a law. There was another dimension of faith Abraham was acting. Another dimension. When he said, lest you say you have made Abraham rich. Huh? He said, keep your things. Lest you say you have made Abraham rich. That's another dimension. It's not confessing. There was a time Abraham was given lands, livestock. He collected. Why is it that this one he did not collect? Another level. He was now operating at a different level. So there are some of the things that if you want to see, you must operate by another level. You must ascend in a new level of faith. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Rise to faith. Leba kata satarabash. Come on, speak in tongues. Oh, veraba. Come on, lift your two hands and speak in tongues. Zelema gratus. Now let me tell you this. Do you know the most busiest place in the whole universe? The noisiest place in the universe. The noisiest place in the whole universe, you know, is your mind. Your mind is the noisiest place in the whole universe. When you ask someone, what are you thinking about? They said nothing. It's not possible. The only thing is that there's so much, he doesn't know which of them he can pick. There's so much that's running through it. He doesn't know anything. That's the normal state. See, our mind is always busy. And that's our normal state. So when we cannot set our consciousness or the gaze of the spirit of our mind on one single thing. When you ask, what are you thinking about? You say nothing. But thoughts are jumping, they are dancing, they are shouting, they are noises, everything is happening in your mind. That's why I said, for them whose mind stays, it means there are no plenty movements in your mind, no plenty activities. Say, he whose mind stays on the Lord, he shall give them shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. And so you see, what you have to do is that it is the most noisiest place. And that's why meditation is your secret. Listen, meditation is not for the orientals. It's a quality of the spirit. The first part you find meditation, it is through meditation you experience creativity. And meditation, for our kingdom, it is brooding. I'm sure you're here. Let me tell you something. The reason when you're meditating, you must have life. You must set your gaze on life. Is that in the realms of darkness, there is also meditation. So if you're not meditating on God's word, you can attract demons. Now, I was telling one gentleman, I said, look, when you watch pornography, do you know it's meditation? You masticate. So you begin to masturbate. Listen, when I was talking to him, I told him things, and he realized that he's struggling to the extent that, like, when he's there, even when he has to think about books, he's thinking about, You don't know how it works. The video is playing. Even in his sleep, he's playing. When he wakes up, he's playing. When he's praying, he's playing. There are witnesses. There are witnesses around. Whether you are praying, then your mind is traveling. Some of you, for 1 hour, you can be praying for 1 hour, and your mind has not settled on the revelation of Jesus. You go to the person that offended you, this guy that got angry with you. Because you know why it's so? Because it's a journey. So your spirit will travel through all the baller. Know the baller. All the garbage before it will ascend in a pure state. The richness of God is in the pure state of your thoughts. And before you reach there, you realize, you remember the guy you fought with. Have you seen the times when you started praying, you are meditating, you are praying, that's the time you remember, you see, you can remember a lot of things. A lot of things, the one who offended you, especially when you come to church and it's his opening prayer or something, and then you are praying, the person leading the prayer has offended you. My goodness. Whilst the person is, he calabaya, then you're like, Kabasata, you. I remember what you did. And the person who is busy, lift your voice.
Glory to God.
So you travel to read the purest things of your mind. Hallelujah. That's how it works. And so you must flood your heart and your mind with the reality of the word of God. Amen. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Come on, keep thanking me. Found the best in me and found your life in me, Jesus, you are the lover of my soul, Jesus. You came to me in the fullness of your grace. You reached out to me in the fullness of your love. You found the best in me and formed your life in me, Jesus, you're the lover of my soul, Jesus.
And as you give your mind to these things, you're going to grow. You're going to grow in faith. You realize all things begin to align. Things begin to align. Thank you, Jesus.